The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. I mentioned this a few moments ago. And don't go anywhere. We've got Top 8 at 8 coming up in just a few minutes. But the Suns, the Phoenix Suns, have slashed all of their concession prices. Well, not all. Just select concession prices around the arena. And I believe they have what they are calling a $2 menu. So the owner of the Suns went around and said he's walking around the arena and he thinks it's hard for families to enjoy the in-game, in-arena experience when all of the food is so expensive. A hot dog costs $9. A water was $8.50. A soda was $6.50. A bag of chips was $7. That's highway robbery. $7 for a tiny bag of chips. Bag of popcorn, $7. So he went through and he slashed them all to $2. $2 a pop. $2 hot dog, $2 water, $2 soda, $2 chips. I still think $2 chips is outrageous, guys. Like a bag of chips, a buck. Okay, can we just be real about that right now? The whole thing is air anyway. You get like six chips in air.
Oh, that's cheap. But that's cheap depending upon the size. Like that's cheaper than you get it at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Like a single serving.
Oh, well, I was going to say the big ones are like $3.50, $4, yeah, right?
Well, again, if you get it on sale, but like if you just like grab, you know, you're at the deli, you grab a sandwich at the grocery store, you grab a bag of chips, it's like $2.19.
But the water is the most obnoxious. $8.50 for a water.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Drink some tap water. It's free. And it has fluoride in it.
You're pro fluoride, are you? Do more arenas need to implement this, Gabe?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Brewers did something like this a couple years ago. They didn't go as far as $2, but they had that 414 menu, junior hot dog, junior nachos to make it easier, you know, if you wanted to, you know, bring your kid to the ball game. But yeah, absolutely. Because that's where you feel the most price gouged, I think. Like, okay, I get it. Tickets are expensive. But then when you walk in, you're paying $10 for a mediocre hamburger, like $8.50 for a cold brat. It's just, it's a lot of the pricing on that is just so out of whack. I'm glad that the Suns are doing this. I hope more teams follow suit.
If anything, do it for the playoffs because that's gravy. You know, if the Packers make the playoff, have a home game, then do that because
they're not going to this year. But yes,
you're not counting on that game. Like yeah. I said, that's gravy. It'd be nice to see.
But the Packers absolutely should do it. And Jason, I know, harps on this a lot. I know Joshy likes to harp on it. For a team that leans into so much of being, oh, we're community owned. We're a team of the people. Like, you buy a piece of stock and that's all you get. You don't get a discount in the team store. You don't get a discount on concession. Don't get a discount on pricing, on the tickets. Everything else at Lambeau Field continues to go up. I don't know the last time they did anything that was, oh, good for them. That's good for the fans.
So I don't have the data in front of me, and a lot of this is hypothetical, but are there people who are not going to games because the price of concessions? Or are those people who want to go to games eating at home? Are they grabbing a meal before they get there? Are they bringing the water in the car? Are they bringing an empty bottle inside with them maybe that they can fill up Chewy at a water fountain? Like, people who would not go to games, I feel like, because of the concession prices, would find a workaround. I agree that this is very helpful. I just don't know. There must be a cross-section of people that we're trying to like nail down here who feel the pinch but are still going to games, right? Because theoretically, dropping the menu doesn't help the people who can't go to games because the ticket prices are so high. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just trying to figure out, when they're crunching the numbers, what is the audience they're targeting here? Because obviously it's people who are already in the stadium, who are already in the arena.
Well, I bet a lot of people are selling their New Orleans tickets, right? Cold, probably going to be a crappy game. Packers are going to blow them out. Not that New Orleans travels well, especially now, but...
Oh, but
I mean, the Bears,
the
Bear game, I bet a lot of people are selling those tickets.
You know what's funny, Chew? I just saw this to what you're saying. People were complaining about the number of opponents or away fans in arenas. Mm-hmm. And for the Packers in particular, they were suggesting, why not, if you can't go to a game and you have tickets, why not have an option where you could sell it to somebody on the season ticket waiting list? Like, is there a way that you could, and this doesn't feel like it'd be that hard, it's just a database, but I have four tickets to the Packers game against the New Orleans Saints this weekend. Mm-hmm. I can't go. And you sign in, log in to some database, and it then goes to somebody on the Packers waiting list so that at least it will be...
A Packer fan?
Thank you, yes. At least your spot will be taken by a Packers fan as opposed to a visitor.
Sure, but I know that waiting list is long. I know that waiting list is extensive, but the majority of Packer fans are not on that waiting list. So now I have to be on the waiting list in order to get any tickets? If I'm a Packers fan, like, I'm not on the waiting list. If I wanted to go to the game this weekend, now I've got to sign up and be on the waiting list. Because a lot of people just look at that as well. Because once you get season tickets, like, that's not cheap either. Because those ticket prices keep going up, and a lot of people can't fork over the money up front for that many games. So I've seen that. I have not been a fan of that.
Are you trying to maximize your dollars? Because my guess is... A Bears fan, say the last game of the year, because Lambeau's a destination stadium, right? My guess is an opposing team will probably pay more than Packers fans, just because it's a bucket list thing. Yeah. Have you been to Lambeau? No, I want to go real bad. All right, I'll pay this X amount more. So,
I think we're framing the concession stands thing in the wrong light in terms of. Who knows how many more people would attend? I assure you there would be more. I know many people who just refuse to go altogether because the prices on everything are high, and attendance rises when they have specials that allow dollar dogs, all that stuff. I think the main point is you are a community-owned, community-operated. Community is your thing. And even if it means your stands are going to be full, it doesn't mean you need to suck every dollar out of them. If you could save somebody $20... with what they're already going to spend, that is good for you and the people that you are bringing to your stadium.
Theoretically, especially from a warm and fuzzy standpoint, Joshy, but I don't know what the infrastructure is for how that money is used. Is the money from concessions used to build the weight room, to get a hot tub?
Well, we know they have $600 million
I get that, but we also know that they cannot use that for players. They cannot use that to pay players. So, like, again, it sounds like there's like...
Well, but it's not like the hot dog you buy goes to the players either.
100%, but I'm trying to figure out where does that money go? What does it doesn't just...
General,
just
see, it goes see, to the general fund.
See, back in the day, and I think this is why there was an explosion of stadiums... And I'm not sure if it's like this anymore, but I knew when I played, the owners get 100% of the luxury boxes.
Okay.
That is not put into the kitty, and that's why you see all these, even Lambeau.
Yeah.
You know, there's tons and tons of luxury boxes at these new stadiums. I'd be interested to know, and it'd be a CBA thing, if that's still the case.
Well, but if it is the case, the Packers don't have an owner. So who cares? Like, it's just going, it's going to that general, kitty that you've got, a bunch of money just sitting there. But why not take care of your fans?
But that's, Bob Harlan's legacy was, he's such a nice guy, and he renovated the stadium. Mm-hmm. Now Mark Murphy's legacy is, how big did I get the bank account?
Yeah.
And, that's his legacy.
And the Titletown District, and he's built that up, which continues to bring in revenue
that way. So
it'll
be interesting to see what Policy's legacy is going to be, because a legacy can be, hey, you know what? He was great to the fans. He's great because he's ultimately a San Francisco guy. And when Mike came from Samson, it was a joke when I went there, man. It was a joke. Boston College, the practice stuff, the weight room was better at Boston College than it was at Green Bay. I'm serious. So Mike came in and changed all that. He said, no, we're San Francisco Midwest. And it's been like that ever since. So Policy, he could have a legacy of, like, he was so good to the fans. He did this. Mm-hmm. $2 hot dogs, $1, you know?
So there's a couple of things at work here that I want to make sure I touch on. One, I hope that with the Suns, who are doing this $2 menu, I hope they're not just passing the buck on to other concessions, right? So, like, you can get a hot dog for $2. You can get a water for $2. But all of a sudden, down at the taco spot, where it used to be $10 for three tacos, now all of a sudden it's $12, right? I hope that that's not happening to sort of balance the books. Two, when it comes to the Packers, I agree with you that you could have lower concession prices, but they still have to break even, right? The last thing you want to do is be, I'm just saying from a concession standpoint, not from a Packers overall standpoint.
The TV deal makes sure that they break even.
That's national revenue versus local revenue.
Well, but that's all, it's all revenue. It's all going to the same thing. Like, I mean, businesses have loss leaders all the time. Why can't concessions to take care of your fans be a loss leader and you still end up in the black?
Well,
that's the good one.
Here's the next thing. Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. The next thing that Sadler in Madison weighs in and says, a lot of people tailgate before Packers games. They eat their food, they get their booze, they do their drinking out in the parking lot. So they're not really investing a lot of money in the concessions anyway. They're buying snacks maybe throughout the game, they're buying drinks, but it's not like a full-blown, I'm eating all of my food, I'm getting all of my meal needs met inside the stadium.
But that parking lot's not that big. Like, yeah, there's a good chunk of people, but I wouldn't, maybe half, maybe.
Right.
I mean, that parking lot does not fit half of the people that are going in that stadium, which is why people allow you to park in their front lawn around.
It's not going to happen with Murphy when he goes to the city and wants a rent reduction. You ask for a rent reduction when you're not making money, not when you're making gobs of money. And where is that at now, by the way?
They came to an agreement.
They did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, after they tried to bully them for like the third time. They finally decided.
So does that mean the renovation for the draft is going through after the season?
I mean, probably after the draft, because they needed to do it this past summer in order for it to be ready for the draft in the spring.
The last thing I will say about this is I am in agreement with you guys on the idea of continuing to lower concession prices, in particular because, whether you want to call it a red herring or not, if you need to make more money, you can just have another stock sale. Like, that is the one thing, the in case of emergency break glass that Packers can always go to. There will always be new people as the community grows, as people get older, there will always be new people who are willing to buy stock for the first time, maybe buy stock again. And you can keep prices low at the concession stand and at least give off the appearance of being a community-friendly, a fan-friendly organization.
Who's the most reasonable out of the three professional teams?
Reasonable in what way?
Concessions.
Brewers.
Probably the Brewers. Because they do
How are the Bucks? How are the Bucks?
It's not great, man. How much do you... So, me and my wife have a 10-pack. How much do you think it is...
I got a 6-pack right here, baby. Look at this sucker. How do you get a 10-pack?
Did you just say?
He said sucker. Sucker is what he said.
What is a 10-pack?
Of
tickets. So we have 10 games that we go to.
How am I supposed to know what the hell a 10-pack is?
You thought he was talking about his physique?
Yeah.
He was talking about his core?
No disrespect, but what about Dave makes you think 10-pack?
Okay, sorry I cut you off. You got a 10-pack.
If we eat, we typically will go to Chick-fil-A. Because they have a Chick-fil-A inside the stadium. How much do you think it costs for me and my wife to just each get like a sandwich, thing of fries and a water?
$40.
100%. Yeah.
Like $45.
Yeah.
40, yeah.
For Chick-fil-A.
I know.
No booze.
Yeah, that's just two bottles of water.
Well, get yourself a lemonade.
if I'm feeling spicy, maybe I'll spend water, splash a little for the lemonade.
How many radio shifts did he do that with? We got to take a break. We got to get to Top 8 at 8 coming up next on Jen, Game, and Chewy.
X-Golf inside American Family Field. It is the place to be this offseason. It's also the place to be hosting your next corporate event. It's such a unique space. They're inside the stadium. They have the windows overlooking left field, so you can check it out. It's awesome. Plus, they have the state-of-the-art simulators that you're always accustomed to when it comes to X-Golf and a great full bar and menu. I recommend the cheeseburger patty. It's fantastic. Trust me, you won't go wrong with that. Book your next sim. Find out more information about hosting your next event there at xgolfamfamfield.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, pumpkin seeds.
No. Little suckers. They might be. What did you say before, Jen?
Sesame but those seeds. Are white. Like, yeah.
No,
like
these
white.
Aren't white. No, this isn't on the outside. This is on the inside.
Seeds on the inside.
Oh, yeah. So you've got some sort of, like...
Scrotum.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Sports bettors, if you aren't making your wagers at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee, you are missing out on an elite experience. It's a complete sports betting paradise. State-of-the-art venue with dozens of self-service betting kiosks and the screens, guys. My goodness, the screens. I was there last night for weekly wager. It is a fantastic scene. Whatever you want to watch, they've got it. They have figured it all out. Bet above the rest only at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and the Sportsbook.
The Top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top eight answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we got, Gabe?
List of 8 things in front of me. You and Chew guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, we open it up to the fans. 800-990-3776. Whoever gets the last one on the list wins that ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. List of 8 things today. Since 1990, 8 wild card teams have made the Super Bowl. Name them. You don't have to name the year, just the teams.
Yeah.
Packers.
So the Packers made the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl in 2010. They are number 2 on the list.
Giants.
The Giants in 2007 were 5 seed.
Very painful.
They also won the Super Bowl when they made it as a wild card. They're number 3 on the list.
This is tricky now.
Mm-hmm.
Those two were familiar. I remember them well.
You said 1, right?
No, just made the Super Bowl. Made the Super Bowl.
Steelers?
The Pittsburgh Steelers in 2005 were a 6 seed. They also won the Super Bowl.
I'm wondering, Chew, in that time when the Patriots won all of those Super Bowls, were they ever a wild card team? Or I mean they probably won the division every year. I don't know.
No,
famously, that was a weak division, but maybe they played one.
Ooh. Hold on. Carolina?
When did Carolina make the Super Bowl?
Well, they played New England way back.
With Jake DeLome, and then they also played the Denver Broncos in 15.
Oh. All right, I'll go Cam Carolina. Newton,
that is incorrect.
What the heck, Gabe? That was ridiculous.
He's just fact-sharing.
I understand, but the way he delivered it made it seem like Chewy was on the right track, then he just wrote it.
He wanted me to say that, too. I should have known, because you gave me a look like, yeah, guess that. Yeah, that's the one. You suck. Now that was suck.
Sucker.
It's all you, Jen.
That one I definitely heard sucker. Yeah. What about when Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl? Were they a wild card
way
team?
Back? Not with Brady. No. With Gruden? I don't know.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay in 2020 with Tom Brady.
Yeah,
they were a wild card team. They are
wild card team.
Trying to rope it up my ass. I see what you're doing.
The Saints won that division that year, and Tampa Bay was the number 5 seed.
Ah, wow. Okay.
They eventually did beat the Saints in the divisional round. So we've got the top 4. 8 wild card teams made the Super Bowl since 1990. Tampa Bay, Green Bay, New York Giants, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Those are the 4 most recent.
There's one more on this list that everyone in the room should know.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, if he's going back to 90.
At least him, for sure, right?
If he's going back to 98, it has to be.
1990.
Oh, 90?
Since 1990.
Oh, I thought you said 98.
8 teams have gone to the Super Bowl as a wild card.
A-O?
This feels like your space. This feels like.
Gotta be A-O.
Because of all of the Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Buffalo.
Buffalo Bills in 1992 were a wild card team. They are number 8 on the list.
It feels like we should start getting callers lined up.
800-990-3776.
I feel myself running out of options. But
you guys have done better than I thought.
Go ahead and rattle them off again, please.
Tampa Bay, Green Bay, Giants, Pittsburgh, 1 through 4, Bills number 8.
How many do we have left?
3.
See?
Just because he can't count doesn't mean you can't.
I'm just saying there might have been
if you're
confusion.
Using him as your barometer, I think you've got
might
some bigger
some
issues.
Confusion out there.
Need an answer, Jennifer.
Denver Broncos.
Broncos in 1997 were a wild card team that defeated the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl. They're number 7 on the list.
I think I might be out. Audi 5000. 3000.
800-990-3776. Since 1998, wild card teams have made the Super Bowl. We have 1 through 4, 7 and 8. We need 5 and 6.
Let's go out to the phone lines. Let's go to Bill in Brookfield. Bill, you're up first on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Baltimore Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens in 2000 were a wild card team.
In what year?
2000.
Okay.
In the year 2000.
Was that Trent Dilfer?
Yes.
Oh, it was.
That was Dilfer.
Okay.
No, it's actually good call. Conan, but.
Would you mind resetting the list for me, please?
All right. 8 teams were wildcard teams that made the Super Bowl since 1990. Tampa Bay is number 1. Green Bay, number 2. New York Giants, number 3. Pittsburgh Steelers, number 4. Baltimore Ravens did it in 2000, which is the one you got at number 5. Don't have 6. Broncos in 97 was 7. And the Bills in 1992, number 8.
And you... Shit.
Whoa.
Shit. He said spit.
Well, that'll get you hooked. You don't even get a guess.
The thing is, I was going to say, Bill, you don't have to be that nice when he asked you. He was like, would you mind resetting the list, please? And then he drops an S-bomb. Let's go out to David in Pewaukee. David, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list? Just one remaining slot.
Did somebody say the Titans yet?
The Tennessee Titans in 1999
really?
Are the 6th team. Whoa. That was, of course, one of the greatest Super Bowls ever played.
Yeah.
Titans-Rams.
Yeah.
Congratulations to David in Pewaukee. You're our big winner this morning on the top 8 at 8 list. Now, why do you think that was easier for us? Do you think because like they've highlighted teams that have done the improbable, that have done, you know, made that run?
I mean,
the Packers were one, obviously.
Yeah, so that was the layup.
Well, I just watched the McNair documentary.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they played. And that was their first year, I believe,
in Tennessee.
Tennessee, which is amazing.
Yeah, it was
Yeah.
Of course, they had like the miracle win against the Bills.
Yeah.
Where they did the lateral to get all the way there.
Yeah.
I don't
Giants
know why it was
very
easier.
Painful.
Yeah. I mean, because you live the Giants, live Tampa Bay. Obviously, we lived the Packer one as well. Yeah. So the top 3 mm-hmm. had Packer ties.
Yeah.
And then, well, number 7 had a Packer tie as well.
Well, it was the 7 tie.
Yeah.
Broncos.
Where they won it the year before. Got beat by Jacksonville and
yes.
I think the division.
Yeah, they won the division, but they lost Jacksonville. But again, that just kind of illustrates how hard it is to even get to the Super Bowl when you are a wild card.
That there
team.
Have only been 8 since 1990.
Yeah, 3 other ones since then, but 1990 is when they expanded to 6 teams in the mm-hmm. postseason. So 6 teams on each side.
Yeah.
That's a good list. Very good. Luscious. Who wants to do a read? I'm all out.
Same here.
Football season is back. I'm excited to be back on campus. I'm going to give you one. You did so well. No. You did so well with the Def Leppard read yesterday. You earned yourself a Pfizer Forum quick trip holiday face-off coming up, sir. Celsius energy drink fuels my active lifestyle. Travis Hunter, Jalen Milroe, Dylan Gabriel, a few of those guys you're going to see in the college football playoff. One of those guys you're going to see in the college football playoff. Explore all 27 refreshing flavors, sparkling or non-carbonated. There is a Celsius for every taste on game day, including my favorite, the old peach vibe. Got it right here. Getting me through this long week. Lots of stuff going on, but Celsius is always there for me. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius by your side. Celsius. Live fit.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can I be Chuck Woolery?
Yeah, Tiny Mike.
Tiny Mike.
Average.
I mean,
no, I want to ask the questions. Tiny Mike
on 94.5 ESPN.
We'll have Chewy do his, dramatic reading a little bit later in the show. You got some tickets to give away, Chew, okay? Not right now, but soon we'll have you do that. So yesterday we had Adam Schefter on the show, and Adam Schefter graciously responded to all of the Doug Gottlieb drama, if you will. I believe the two have sort of, you know, peace offeringed their way through this thing. Doug did call and apologize to Adam, as he told us on the show. But Doug is doing some stuff, guys. Doug is, he is in it, man. He is in the crosshairs. He is in the muck. Doug Gottlieb, I want to play the sound from him. He's the head coach of the basketball team in Green Bay. We have now talked about the basketball team in Green Bay more than we have talked about Milwaukee right here in Milwaukee because of Doug Gottlieb. Take a listen to what he had to say about a team they played this week.
Tears on who to schedule, like nobody. And part of the reason I want to play better teams is like it's 2 degrees outside, snowing. Like I don't really like the idea of nobody you coming in here and like what do we learn playing a game where we win by 20? But there's a methodology to it, and I'm gonna have to adjust moving forward.
Nobody U, also known as Michigan Tech Division II, which won that game, guys, 72-70. So Doug Gottlieb goes on the radio and says, nobody U, in reference to their opponent, Michigan Tech. I can't imagine, Chu, that they took that lightly. I can't imagine that when a coach calls you nobody U, you go, it's fine. And it motivated them to beat Green Bay 72-70. Does he need to... lock it up.
Yeah, you can't do radio when you're the head coach of a basketball team. I mean, that's just ridiculous, and he deserved what he got. You know, he really did. You want national? You want to be noticed nationally? There you go. You're on the front page of ESPN website. But that's just who he is. You know, I mean, they didn't like him. Wasn't he doing college basketball the tournament with Barkley and the Jet, and they couldn't stand him, and then
he did some stuff for CBS for a little while, yeah.
And they couldn't stand him, and they didn't want to be with him, which is fine. I mean, it's good for radio, but when you're representing a university and things like that, I hope he's embarrassed because he should be.
Well, let me follow up.
Okay.
Whatever I do is going to draw a ton of attention, Gottlieb said. I have a certain tone sometimes to the way I speak and especially to the way I tweet, which can upset people. I promise you, even though it's in the negative now, it'll be in the positive soon. Keep all the receipts. We'll just keep doing our job. The problem, Doug, is that you're not doing your job. You've lost 8 straight. You're in last place in your conference. So you can argue that, yes, getting exposure and getting attention for your program is part of your job. But at some point, Gabe, negative attention is not right. It's like when they used to talk about kids and they used to say, like, why is the kid having a temper tantrum? Well, they just want attention. Don't give them negative attention. That will lead to, you know, that down the road. That will cause you problems down the road. I honestly don't think that Doug Gottlieb's bosses, I'm guessing there are bosses, want this type of attention. I'm guessing they don't want him popping off and saying things like, we'll just keep doing our job when they've lost 8 straight.
Well, it depends. Because now here we are for the second time this week talking about Green Bay basketball.
Not in a good light, though.
We've never talked about Green Bay basketball before. And do they want everybody saying Green Bay basketball the way we are now? Or do they just, would they rather just be, oh, that's a team in the horizon that just kind of is there?
Yeah, but what was that word that Chewy used before on the show? He said sucks, right? They suck. Like, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Is when we're talking about them, we're not saying, like, oh, this is an up-and-coming team. Oh, this is a team that's got all the pieces. They just need to put it together. We're saying, hey, man, stop attracting this type of attention for your program. It's not a good look.
But even if they were a really good team, we wouldn't talk about them. Like, if Green Bay was, oh, man, they might win the Horizon this year. Nobody's going to talk about that. Nobody cares. It's the Horizon League.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. Does the AD have to pivot now? Because he's the one that hired him, and he was the one okay with him doing a radio show, and obviously things aren't going well. This is going to happen one of two ways, I think. If I'm the AD, he's going to say, stop doing the radio show, or you're gone, or Gottlieb's going to go, well, this is a bad decision on my part.
Does Gottlieb need to come to that decision on his own?
Right? Probably.
I don't think he will, based upon what he's saying. I don't think he does.
My guess is also there's probably something in the contract that allows him to do it, and they would have to renegotiate that contract.
Let me tell you what. I don't care how good a coach you are. If you don't put in the time, you're not going to be successful. You're just not.
He is saying that he is. He says, this is my dream job. I will not fall short of the 100% effort that's required. Nobody is questioning that it is required. We understand the demands, maybe not as intimately as others who are in that space, but we understand the demands of being a head coach, Division One in 2024. Does he? Because you can't say, I will not fall short of the 100% effort that's required if, in fact, he is also doing the radio show. And look, the radio show might just be an easy excuse, right? It just feels like if you're failing at one gig, the obvious response to that is, well, maybe you should give up the other gig.
Nobody else doing this job is also doing that job. There's probably a reason why nobody else has a side gig while they're the head coach of a Division One basketball team.
A parallel to this is going to be Belichick. Because I guarantee Belichick took this job because, I mean, we're dealing with massive egos. You guys know that, right? Massive egos. Really?
Wait. You think Doug Gottlieb has an ego?
Yeah, half a cup. But Belichick's probably like, I can get every 5-star out there. And if he doesn't, they're not going to be good. That's why I always go between and I ask my son, I'm like, who deals with a lot of coaches? I'm like, would you rather have a coach that is an unbelievable recruiter and sucks as a coach or a great coach who sucks at recruiting?
You're talking about X's and O's.
Yes.
What did he say?
He said he'd rather have a great coach than a great recruiter. You know, because it's been proven that you can win with 3-star athletes.
Yeah. And if you have dreams of the NFL, if you want to spin this to the Belichick thing, if you have dreams of the NFL and you're, a 3-star kid, the NIL opportunities aren't as grand as they are for a 5-star.
Yeah.
You're looking around going, well, I think that guy can get the best out of me and get me to the NFL. I'm going there.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't see this marriage lasting long. I really don't. You know.
Do you subscribe to the idea that all publicity is good publicity?
It's funny you ask me. I'm going to say no.
It's fair.
It's really not.
It's fair. Yeah. I would agree with that. I think that that is a cop-out. I think that I understand people who are like, oh, Gabe, you mentioned it. We're talking about Green Bay, but nothing we're saying about them is in a positive light. And if you're a program that is trying to get recruits, to earn recruits, to bring recruits in, do you want to be the laughingstock? Look, there are always going to be athletes who think that they can be the one that changes the culture, that changes the vibe, that changes the narrative. But right now, Green Bay is the laughingstock, let's just say, of the horizon. Because of the Adam Schefter thing, because of the nobody using.
See, but I don't think the Schefter thing really damaged him that much. Like, that's just a whatever. That happens.
Yeah.
But if you are a kid, do I want to go to a place that just found nobody you, and then you got beat? Like, that's directly impacting basketball now. Okay, my coach likes to talk on social media. Who cares? But we don't want to play nobody you and win by 20 points and then you lose by 2? Like, that to me is more egregious in terms of his job as a head coach than the Schefter thing.
Yeah, you want to get players, you got to win. You know, you got to win. Mm-hmm. It's hard to dig yourself out of holes. That's why, in Wisconsin, not making a bowl, it makes recruiting that much harder. No, I'm not going there. I want to go flash in Oregon.
I want a chance of playing in the college football playoff.
Yeah. Especially with all the choice, right?
Sure.
Athletes now have unlimited choice. Mm-hmm. You used to have to kind of fulfill a commitment. And I'm not criticizing it. I'm simply saying, like, now, even if you were always dreamed of going to Wisconsin and you made a commitment to Wisconsin, the transfer portal and the ability to bop around to teams means nobody expects that anymore. Nobody expects you to, like, say you want to go to one place and then stick it out for 4 years. That's the exception to the rule. I don't like it.
No, I don't like it either. I'm with you. I just don't. I don't see the need to disparage another team, and that's what it was.
Yeah, and again, that's where I think that's just a bigger deal than whatever happened with Schefter. I mean, how many times have you seen somebody like Lane Kiffin get in trouble because of something he throws out there on social media? Okay, whatever, not a big deal. It's not like he went, we don't want directional Iowa coming down here, nobody you, and then he gets beat by a couple points.
And I hear you on that. Where I disagree is he got bodied by Adam Schefter. The way that Schefter handled it, who won that fight, guys? Schefter won, right? And it's not a fight, like a physical fight or whatever. But, like, in that conflict, Schefter came out on top. Like, that's where I think he lost.
But people are going to forget about that in a week.
Right, but now it's the nobody you,
like, even if the Schefter thing didn't happen, the nobody you thing people are going to remember for a long
but
time.
But again, the problem is that we remember it more because he was already thrust into the spotlight because of the Schefter conflict, and now all of a sudden the nobody you thing comes right on the heels of it. It was very bad timing.
What you're missing here as a huge factor is I didn't know what the hell Green Bay's record was, and then the biggest NFL reporter put it out in the world, and now I'm going to be paying attention to see how long the losing streak is and just how bad it gets, because now I want to root against Doug
Exactly.
Gottlieb.
I was just going to say, unlikable. Everyone wants him to fail, because...
Like, the publicity thing, all publicity is good, that's good for personal brand, but when you have a results-based business and your losses outnumber your wins by tenfold... That's going to bring the attention you don't want that will affect your career. I think it's very different. Like, if we make publicity here because I say something stupid, like, the Kardashians were the most hated people, like, on Earth when you did, like, the Q rating stuff and likability. Guess what they turned that into? Billions.
Yeah.
You just got to wait it out.
You think that's going to happen for Doug Gottlieb?
Tide's going to turn.
I do think we should put together a list, though, because between our guy Aaron Rodgers and now our guy Doug Gottlieb, it sort of seems like we're putting together a list of people that we're rooting against. Is there anyone else out there? Don't answer now. Think about it. I'm going to give you the break. Is there anyone else out there that we are actively rooting against?
I'm going to need another hour.
Nah.
I've got a lot of people.
Yeah,
I've got a lot of problems with you people.
Now you're going to hear about
start
it.
Start popping like popcorn back there, Josh.
Maybe just save that for Monday in Festivus, Joshy.
All right, so we want Chewy to do our giveaway, right? Chewy, you got a giveaway
Yeah,
over
you
there?
Know who I don't have a problem with? College hockey, because it returns to the Fiserv Forum with the fourth annual Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off during December 28th and 29th. I need Quick Trips in Florida. I got to film a commercial there tomorrow, actually.
Big time. Buds.
Why are you guys looking at me like I'm...
Well, because you just kind of started having a conversation.
The Wisconsin Badgers return to defend their title, facing the Ferris State Bulldogs in the semifinal action day one. The UConn Huskies, more known for basketball, but they play hockey too. In Alaska Fairbanks, Nanooks, is that right?
Yeah.
Nailed it. It's not a Chinook, but it's a Nanook. We'll battle for the other spot in the championship game. Get your seats today at Ticketmaster.com or be caller Josh.
Two.
Caller two right now at 800-990-3776 and win four tickets to the Saturday, December 28th games at Fiserv. You're welcome, Jen.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ryan and McGuanago weighing in. Hey, if you find something that sucks for 25 years, you hold on to that.
Yeah, that is a very good point.
Because usually the sucking only happens before you get married, and then the sucking just stops.
We're going to get fired.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
We asked our loyal listeners this morning who Chewy looks like more, Santa Claus or Waldo today in his red and white with his stocking cap with the little ball of yarn on top. 89% of people said he looks like Waldo, which prompted the question from Chew, who's Waldo? Do you know who Waldo is? We asked our loyal listeners. 86% of people said yes. Most disliked list, Rodgers, and the defensive back who goes for everyone's knees for the Lions.
Kirby Joseph. I got a list here. Rodgers, Draymond, Embiid, J.J. Redick, Gottlieb, LeBron, Deshaun Watson, Floyd Mayweather, Tyler Hero, anyone on the Bears, Brett Favre, Sean Payton, Mike McDaniel, Tyreek Hill, Russell Wilson.
You just came up with that during the break?
Top of the head.
That is
there's more in there, too.
100%.
It could be hundreds.
All right. I want the full list on Monday. I want the full list.
That's amazing. Craig Council also getting a lot of love on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Will the Intellish is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one.